Top Shelf Fantasy.
All right, guys, week three is in the books. We're already almost a quarter way, or might be a quarter way through the season now. But podcast 304, September 25th, 2024. We got our thoughts looking forward, our buy low, sell high, hold full candidates, and of course, the fun news with IR guys and Herc guys, but it's not as bad as it was the first 2 weeks. Before we get started, topshelffantasy.com. We will also be starting our start sits this week, me and Dows, for week four going forward. Follow us on X, Instagram, and Facebook at topshelffntsy. We got Dows in the building, Kyle from Denver in the building. Dows, how we doing?
Pretty good. Fantasy week was a little bit more positive in week three than in week two, so we'll take that. One note on the starts. It's, I think we talked about this. We're going to try to get them out for Thursday night games this year. Is that the plan?
Or yeah.
Thursdays?
We did it last year, too, because we always have guys we want to put in there. We can't. Then they hit, right? Damn it. I knew it.
Yeah. So I think if you're a TSF listener, tried and true, log on, check it out. We should have our stuff out for you Thursday. So while you're sitting in your cube at work, you have something to do. Because we all know you're not freaking working.
No one is. Kyle, how's it going?
I'm good, man. 8 fantasy leagues, 3-0 in 6 of them.
Damn.
Plus, doing pretty well in our best ball league that has 16 teams in second place right now with the most points scored. And the one league I suck in is the TSF listener league.
So. We do too. Our
we also sad, yeah. And we didn't make any pickups yesterday because I forgot about it.
I looked at it too. I'm like, I don't know.
Like, yeah, sometimes, you know, let's just let everybody else win. We got to get
no
rid
one
of
out there was going
to
fix it for our team. So,
true. Kyle, how are you doing in TEP? Because I know I believe I'm the high scorer in the league, but my record is horrible.
Yeah, I'm 3-0 in that league. Like Dickie this week, so need another win just to keep beating him down. But, you know, TEP is pretty interesting. We did, for the listeners, 2 points per reception, so it's even more. I think a lot of the standard TEP leagues are like 1.5.
Yep.
1.25. So we give it that extra nudge. So tight ends are very valuable. And then, as luck would have it, tight ends have been just miserable this season to start. So it's really been a game of luck at this point, and I've survived thus far. But we're going to dive into it, I know, on the injury front, but the injuries stacking up in the first 3 weeks have been very surprising and totally out of our control. So getting lucky, I guess, is what's happening for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's the almost the name of the game in fantasy football. It's a mixture of consistency and luck. You know, if you can keep a healthy team, you probably make playoffs and have a good shot at a championship.
A little bit of research in Dynasty, though. I picked up Jordan Mason in preseason, and all of a sudden, CMC's Achilles might be done for his career. Now, I wouldn't wish that evil on him, but yeah, Jordan Mason's been very serviceable. So
I think, well, to that point, too, timing is just as important as everything in fantasy football. And if you see a guy like Jordan Mason's available in offseason and you can snag him in a Dynasty league, then you do that. Like, if he, you know, as soon as he is the clear-cut handcuff to Christian McCaffrey, or even if that's on his horizon, you snag him. It's you got to take the opportunity at the right time on the right players. And yeah, maybe again, a little bit of luck to make sure he actually becomes the guy and stays healthy, but it's huge. And the people that, you know, sit there and don't look at their dynasty teams for an entire off season fall behind the eight ball quickly.
Yeah. I feel like after the rookie draft, it's like, all right, I got my team. I'll look at it, you know, mid August, late August before week one, and then after that it's like all these guys are gone.
Yeah,
or you're picking them for way too much. So yeah, that's a good example there, but we'll get right into the news. We'll start with the injuries, of course. Start with IR, which is surprising, only one person this week. Let's get ourselves a clap there. Adam Thielen, old man Thielen, hammy, looked bad. Could be a long one. He's on the 4-week IR, which is a good sign, but it did look bad. Unfortunately, he had a good game too. You kind of wanted to see him be healthy with Andy Dalton and that entire offense, because I think him and Deontay Johnson can both succeed there if they played that way each week. So that one kind of stung.
Yeah, and he is a guy with a history of hamstring injuries and other soft tissue injuries. So something to keep a close eye on as you monitor his recovery. And probably a guy that you don't want to start the first week back, even if it is, 4 weeks on IR and then his number 1 week back. It's just risky. Did the same thing with T. Higgins this week. He ended up gutting out the whole game and seemed healthy, but I had him and I just said I can't start this guy because his percentage chance of getting hurt and playing one drive just too high.
And we'll move on to the out guys. Dow's gonna take those.
Yeah, Austin Eckler is already ruled out for week four against Arizona. He's got a concussion. It's got to be bad if they ruled him out this early and there's not even like him flirting with clearing protocol. I think he has had concussions in the past as well, at least, one or two in his NFL tenure. So good to see him, taking it slow, make sure he's healthy before he's back out there. Cooper Kupp also already ruled out for week four against Chicago. I think we knew this was going to happen with him flirting with the IR stint. Good to see that he's avoided it to this point. Hopefully he can maybe make it back week five, week six. I think week six might be more likely. And then if you are in any IDP leagues, you definitely saw this. If you definitely had this guy on one of your rosters, Foye Oluyokun picked up the injury on Monday night. Plantar fasciitis injury to his foot. He's expected to miss significant time. I believe he's going to IR at some point. I think we might see that by the end of this week. But he didn't. He went out early. Did not return. I forget the guy's name behind him. It's like Venel Williams or something. He might be worth a pickup because Jacksonville can't stop a nosebleed so far. They're just down in games and people are running on him. So that's a huge tackle opportunity for your linebackers. But for IDP leagues, sucks to see. I mean, guy who's putting up 170 tackles a year and consistent linebacker one for the last three seasons. It's just hate to see it happen. That's the equivalent of Christian McCaffrey going down.
Right. Yeah. For the guys that don't really understand that, that's a top three pick in IDP format.
Yeah, almost always the first IDP player off the board.
And we'll go to the questionable guys. Not practicing this week so far. It's Wednesday. When we do the podcast on Thursday, we have more of a clear sign. But as of Wednesday, Justin Herbert, he re-injured the high ankle. Kind of said, don't play him. I had to start him in a league over Andy Dalton. That kind of sucked. But not practicing, but it sounds like the coach is saying, he's could play. He's not going to rest him if he can play. But they have a bye week after this week. I think you got to sit the guy and give him 2 weeks. It's a high ankle sprain. You can't have this guy taped up to the freaking calf every single week. Like it's You just can't play quarterback that way.
Yeah, this is, oh, sorry. This is
No, go
especially
ahead.
rough too because the Chargers lost two of their own linemen again, who will most likely miss this week. And then the Chargers are on a bye, as you said. So Joe Alt, their first round draft pick, sprained his MCL. And then Rashawn Slater, I believe his name is, on the opposite side, on the right side of the line, has a pec injury. So it's going to be a rough week for J.K. Dobbins against Kansas City because there's not a whole lot of help between the quarterback and the O-line.
Yeah, and if you're talking about a disjointed offensive line with KC's defensive front, I don't want to play with that at all. Chris Jones could have five sacks in the first quarter, and I wouldn't be surprised. So that's a great point. That's a good addition. We don't usually do offensive linemen. Good to have an O-line guy on the scene.
Chalk it up as a loss. You're playing KC.
Yeah,
Like,
take the L, move on.
yeah, bye week, get back to your routes. Like, it's fine. Alvin Kamara not practicing, probably precautionary. Is it hip that I
He said
see?
hip and ribs. So I would just say when they give two reasons, I assume veteran days off.
Jaylen Warren missed practice, tending a knee injury. I thought he was getting his MCL looked at. I didn't hear anything else
I didn't get
after
any
last
news.
week.
Yeah, I didn't get any news back. I just saw he missed practice and he's tending to it.
Not that he's a
So,
guy you're really putting out there these
no.
days, anyways. Sam Laporta, low ankle sprain, still unsure for status of week four. Tomorrow, I'm
Dan
sure we'll
Campbell
know a lot more.
seemed positive when he was relaying it to the. He was like, he's lucky to have avoided the high ankle. It's a low ankle. Let's, I guess, hope for the best. So We'll take that
if you're a Sam Laporta owner, it's like if he's out, it's like, cool, I don't have to make that decision of benching
out.
him.
Right.
Like,
Right.
so, all right,
And
that's kind of a good thing.
I've seen people already picking up Brock Wright as if he's going to have a huge game.
What
I
has
don't.
Laporta done in
Right.
fantasy? You're thinking a back end tight end is going to now get you 10 points. You're lucky for three. Like,
Right. Very,
it's not
very
going to
odd.
happen. Yeah. And the last one, Devonta Smith, questionable. He's a clear protocol. As well as we didn't put this on here, but AJ Brown still not practicing. So he'll probably miss this week as well. And
Yeah,
I think
that's tough.
offensive lineman. Isn't Lane Johnson out too? Or not
Yeah, Lane
practicing?
Johnson was out with a with an illness. He was vomiting, they said last week. So I don't know what his status is. I mean, he might just be trying to get healthy. But I don't think he picked up any additional injury from what I remember.
And did I totally miss Trey McBride out with a concussion too?
No,
Oh,
we didn't have
no.
that. That is correct. He's still concussion protocol, likely to miss this week as of today.
Yeah, rough week for the quote top tight ends that
Yes,
were drafted this
especially
year.
against Washington defense next week. He could have a freaking game. All right, you want to take the next one, Dawes?
Trending in the right direction. We've got Jonathan Brooks, who's making progress and is looking like he might be ready to come back right after his 4 week IR stint or PUP stint, whatever you want to call it. So that's a good sign. Najee Harris avoided any sort of major or significant arm injury. He will be playing on Sunday, as far as what the news says today. If Jalen Warren's out, I'm sure there's even more incentive for him to continue to play. Then we have Sam Darnold, who had an MRI, came back with no damage shown. He expects to play. I think either saying it's a knee bruise or a deep knee bruise. So he's good enough. He'll be pain management more than anything. And then Jordan Addison headed in the right direction. Looks like he's going to make a return to the field this week. Again, continue to monitor him throughout the week, see if he gets any limited practices or even a full practice for that matter. But Jordan Addison back on the field with Sam Darnold and Justin Jefferson have looked good together. Could be huge. Could be a nice coming out party for him.
And in some more news, CMC flying to Germany to explore stem cell injections for his Achilles. Don't know if this is good or bad news. I don't think it's great news. I think it's definitely a thing where he probably got news that he's gonna be out longer, so why not, go to someplace else to see if they can cure it quicker or whatnot.
Yeah, it's the exact same thing we saw or that we talked about. I don't know if I even talked about it on the podcast ever, but talked to you with you guys. Same thing he did in Carolina when he had the quad injury a couple years back, before the year that he was traded to San Fran. Went down to Mexico. He managed to do this without missing any games or missing any time. Got his quad injected stem cell, whatever, FRC, whatever they call it. It's some sort of acronym. He came back. He missed no time. He looked fantastic and was absolutely dominant. So I think Kyle actually sent me the thing for this time. It was some doctor or whatever his actual title is, talking about it. And he's like, yeah, it could take a couple months to get back up to full speed. Like average expectation is such and such. It's like, yeah, maybe for like average people, like CMC is just built different. He'll be fine. Like if he has 2 or 3 weeks left on his IR stint, depending on where you are or where he is in that, I'd expect him back at the end of it, ready to play. I think he's searching out medical options that put him back on the field as soon as humanly possible. Especially with how
That's
bad San Fran's looked. I'm sure they're like, yeah, go ahead, do it. Go get whatever you can. Get a new leg while you're there.
yeah. Well,
Yeah, but
with
they've been
Debo out too,
devastated. Yeah, they've been
devastated.
devastated by injuries and George Kittle. I mean,
Yeah.
three of their top, what, four playmakers on offense have all been out and already down with injuries. So it's a
Yeah, and their
tough
second
drop.
best blocking player in Kittle, like
Yeah,
you
I mean, we
lose
talk
him,
about
it's
it all the
massive.
time. San Fran is just a different team without Kittle. Like, yes, you have Debo and the Ayuks of the world and CMC matter, but like without Kittle, you see like a quick drop off.
And
Like,
Trent
and even
Williams,
Mason, yeah, Trent Williams hurt.
the legend Trent Williams, second game in a row, I was reading, had to get an IV, leave the field. Didn't miss a whole lot of snaps, but when he was asked about it after the game, he just openly said, I'm out of shape. That holdout, you know, that
Yeah.
holdout killed me. I mean, he
That
got paid, good
happens.
for him, and he's definitely at the tail end of his career, but he's a legend. But we're seeing this all over the league this year with guys that held out and just aren't performing in the first couple of weeks, but hoping it comes back to normal here in week four.
Yeah, I mean the holdout thing. It's like if you're gonna hold out, that you used to like stay in shape and be ready to play. Like Michael Strahan used to hold out every single year, but then he came to camp like in the best condition of anybody on the field. Not really the case anymore. These guys are sitting around getting fat, eating bonbons. So, hate to see it.
Next one, Kareem Hunt is elevated on the 53-man roster for the Chiefs. He'll join Carson Steele and Samaje Perine. Steele last week, 17 for 72. Perine, 6 for 25, with a little more passing work in the game. So this is a kind of a clusterfuck in
Yeah,
my mind. Like 17 for 72 is not bad, but like that's 7.2 points. I think he had a catch for like a couple yards, so maybe like 8 points if you're playing in that kind of league. But like Samaje Perine probably got like I think 5.6, 6 points because he had a few catches, but neither one really was like, all right, that's the guy. Like, it's just hard to, I don't know.
I haven't looked up Carson Steele's like yards over expectation or whatever it is, but like he seemed like he got what was there. You know, 17 for 72 is a shade under 5 yards a carry. Wonderful, but you didn't do anything magnificent. And
A few big because like beginning of the game it was like oh my gosh he looks like crap. Perine had a way better runs and there's a few big runs which is the NFL like you ride the hot hand. He was great towards in the second half, but the fact that they're having Hunt come up already might show it's like all right we in my mind we don't trust fully these two guys. We're going to bring in a guy that we just signed a week ago already. Like, in my mind, that's not a great sign for Steele or Perine.
then as the
Fully.
last piece, add CEH,
In week five.
Scotty's day one,
Yeah, we'll
is
see.
eligible to return week five. But Mike Tirico dropped on the podcast that he spoke with CEH pregame and that he's doing well. So that's good from a mental health perspective. Never want to see anybody, go through something as traumatic as PTSD. I don't know the circumstance, all that, but
He killed
indicated
someone.
that,
That's why. It's true.
I mean, he is on the Chiefs.
No. He did kill someone in 2018.
Did he
It was
really?
like a self-defense or
Self
like
defense,
sort of thing,
armed
but yeah,
robbery.
killed somebody.
Oh wow,
Him and
I
his
did
friend.
not
Yeah.
know that.
I'm learning today. Dang.
Oh yeah.
But Mike Tirico intimated that CH should be ready to go by week five. So then you're going to have a full blown just RBBC BBCs. And that's where you're going to be at until Isaiah Pacheco comes back. So I think it's just going to be a lot more passing. I mean, Rashee Rice has been
Oh,
crushing it, getting a
fantastic.
lot of designed drag routes, things like that. And they're basically using that like the run game, like Tom Brady used to do.
They had to bring in another receiver with Hollywood out. They just can't have Rice. Like Worthy's fun, I guess, but like he's not the two. Like he can't
You're
be the
not
two.
buying the Juju touchdown love?
I surprisingly am not.
No,
I'm not gonna
I
win.
think no, Juju, I mean, yeah, he caught a ball and ran the yards and scored a touchdown that I think most players in the NFL should and would have caught and done. But I can't knock him, he can only catch the balls thrown to you, and if you score, that's great. But Worthy doesn't do it for me. I don't know, like Justin Watson maybe could step up. You've seen him do it in the past. I don't think that they really want to rely upon him. And really the missing link is Travis Kelce.
Yep.
So we'll see, but CH coming up is definitely going to throw a even larger wrench into this already very convoluted backfield.
Where it's like you don't know who to like you can't I feel like you can't start anyone on this team until week six. Cause
Yeah,
you
I
like
think like
even this week it's like do you do Hunt, Steele, like in my mind you do Perine if you if you're fine with like 5 to 8 points. Like that's fine in your second flex because he's getting on the field for pass blocking. Like Andy Reid came out and said like Steele was great. He needs to learn protection.
Yeah.
And in the KC offense, you need protection. Like that's what you need to be on the field. So in my mind, I think week six, you just can't start anyone until you actually see what it's going to look like.
Yeah, it's tough to do. I think if you went out and you spent like $40 of your fab money on Carson Steele, which we saw happen,
In plenty of leagues.
you might be stuck. You might have to plan. Like that's you almost get into the NFL sort of like, well, we spent the
We paid
draft
the
capital
guy.
on them. We spent the money on them. Let's plan. But Yeah, short of that, it's tough. Me, I don't. I picked up Steele. I got him for free in one league. I played him, flex spot, whatever. I could play him again. Hopefully, I don't have to. I'm hoping like David Njoku plays this week.
There's actually one thing I do want to start doing, Dows, since we are both in way too many leagues, is every time there's a waiver wire in any league, so we'll do like one for like, or here's all our redraft leagues. Let's see where Steele went high, like the highest, lowest average, and
Yeah.
like what the outliers are. Same with Dynasty for like the, you know, the Tyler Beatty's of the world.
Yeah,
Be
that
kind of
works.
cool to actually see, like, all right, this is like every league, this person actually went the same value at most leagues. But Steele, like you said, I got him for zero. You got him for zero. I think Dickie paid 41 in our Antoine league. Started him. He was like, I need to win this week. He got set 7.8 points.
It's like
He
that's not going
won,
to
but
be
not because of that.
right.
All right, we'll move on. Andy Dalton to remain the quarterback for the Panthers. That's no surprise at all. Bucky Irvin to see more snaps heading into week four. Rightfully deserved. Rashad White has not been playing well at all. Irvin's been playing great, but Dows, you kind of brought up a thing before the podcast on Irving.
Yeah, Bucky Irving, right after this news came out, from head coach Bowles, that Bucky Irving appears on the injury report with a hamstring injury he's nursing and had either a limited practice or missed entirely. So, problematic. You hate to see it. Like you said, he's been more effective on the ground than Rashad White. Rashad White's been decent through the air, but that's not the roles they had coming into this season. So, definitely something to continue to monitor. This week could be interesting. See if, you know, if Bucky Irving misses any time, that obviously hurts him. If he's able to gut it out, that's great. What you hope doesn't happen is that he's so scared to miss his opportunity that he goes and plays through something that forces him to miss extended time.
TJ Hawkinson could return to practice next week. I did not know that. It's great for the tight end landscape. We kind of need that.
Yeah, and he's eligible, obviously, as soon as he comes off the PUP. So he could be back sooner rather than later. And then our last piece is Nick Chubb. Same story, could return to practice. I first saw a report today that said Nick Chubb could not return till the middle of the season. And then they followed it up very quickly with he could start practicing next week, which we talk about all the time, right? Once you're off IR, they open up the practice window and blah, 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 and you can come back. And then you have such and such amount of time. And even if you hit the active roster immediately, you don't have to play that week. You know, you can ease back into it. So just because these guys are practicing doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be playing week five, but week six, seven, and eight, probably all in play for these two guys. There was one other piece of news I wanted to add, and it was the Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb fiasco unfolding down in Dallas. And just really a question. You guys concerned? You pressing the panic button, or you think they sort it out?
You don't say that about my favorite stack, okay, Dallas?
Jake Ferguson and Dak. We're not talking about Fergie. I know
Well,
that's your
that's
favorite.
I did
It's his
Dak. The
second
way
favorite
that
stack.
the way that ADP worked out this year, I do have it's our TEP league where I have Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb. Actually, it should be CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott, and Jake Ferguson. Yeah, I mean they got to figure that out, right? Like they both just got paid. Why are they so mad?
Yeah, I know you had Dak coming off the field saying like you can, I don't know, step off or ship out or whatever it was. And then you've got him criticizing CeeDee's professionalism and saying he wasn't at camp and blah, blah, blah. But then on the flip side, you know, regardless of if CeeDee was in camp or not, like that didn't force you to throw the ball 10 feet over his head and make it completely uncatchable. So I think you want to see your quarterback take a little bit more of the responsibility, whether it's his fault or not. And then obviously you want your top tier wide receiver to be a little bit less of a diva. So the problem is you have Mike McCarthy there who couldn't control a locker room if his life depended on it. So.
Yeah, and then you have Jerry Jones, you know, captaining the whole ship, and he's just an absolute joke as far as it goes now. So I don't know.
It's a problem. You know, winning solves all. So if they come out and dominate the Giants on Thursday night, we probably don't hear this again for the rest of the season. If they get shellacked, then we will probably hear some sort of craziness coming out of there. CeeDee Lamb maybe demanding a trade or some nonsense.
Yeah, but like, Where would he go that's going to be better than Dak? Like stat wise.
No, I mean that's the problem, right? Like you're not going to go to an offense that's going to throw the ball 40 to 50 times a game anywhere. I mean, and with that contract attached, I know we say the cap is fake, but at some point, especially in season, like you can
Yeah.
only have so
Teams
much on
are
your books,
set right now.
right?
That's a
Yeah,
big
you're
thing to
not going
take,
to the Chiefs today. Like,
especially
get
a
that out of
four
your head.
year. Yeah, exactly. All right, we'll move on to week three top performances. Quarterback Josh Allen, 30.9 fantasy points, 263 yards passing, four touchdowns, six rushing attempts, 44 rushing yards, and another touchdown. And he barely played the fourth quarter.
Huge.
Just exactly what you want for Josh Allen after a pretty poor week two.
Yeah, I mean, his poor week two was because, again, they were up so big, he didn't have to do anything. Like, he just kind of coasted to a victory, right? So, was that, yeah, that was week two.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So, again, good to see him actually put up some numbers for fantasy. But if you're continually blowing teams out, then that's even more impressive. Do you hear his quote after the game, too? Said it's nice to have players here that don't care about stats and individual awards. Like a little knife
Diggs.
twist for Diggs there.
Yep. All right, you guys take the Dows take the next one.
Yeah, we got the running back top shelf performer of the week, Saquon Barkley, 17 carries for 147 yards, two rushing touchdowns, and then he added four catches on four targets for 9 additional yards in the air. Also, shout out to Kyren Williams, who was right behind him with like 30.1 points. So big week for a couple of the running backs in the league. Kyle, you want to take wide receiver?
Sure, I can come off mute. Yeah. Juwan Jennings, the golden god we all drafted preseason. Yeah, I mean, we touched on the San Francisco injuries that have plagued them currently to start the season between CMC, Debo Samuel being out, Brandon Ayuk not being up to speed, just like a lot of these other Debo wide receivers. I mean, he got the bag again, congrats, but it's really affected the San Francisco offense, at least in these first couple weeks. But Juwan Jennings had 11 receptions on 12 targets for 175 receiving yards and all three touchdowns for San Francisco. So if you started him, I think it was in a 1 point PPR league, it was 41 points or something crazy. So good on you if you picked him up and started him on a whim.
Yeah, huge, huge performance. And he gets the juicy matchup with New England this coming week. So could be even more. Since Scott's not back, we will go to the tight end position. Dallas Goedert, another Eagle, making the list. He dropped 22 points on 10 catches, 11 targets for 170 yards. An absolute career day for the lad. I got to assume. No, that math adds up. 22. Yeah, never mind. I thought he would have had a touchdown in there too, but apparently not. So heck of a day for him. I mean, that's just across the board what you hoped to see out of Goddard, probably never expected to. I think if he gets around 15 points, you're probably happy. I had him in a
Yeah.
lineup and couldn't have been more thrilled.
Yeah, I had him in Dynasty Survivor and was elated with that
Yeah.
score. Just more context to this too, for those that aren't following every single move and being fantasy degenerates like us, the reason he's getting targeted so much and probably will get a comparable amount of targets this week in week four, AJ Brown still nursing a hamstring injury, and now DeVonta Smith got a concussion during that game, I believe, like towards the end of the third quarter. In the fourth. So Goddard had a pretty decent stat line, had five or six catches going into the fourth quarter, but just kind of exploded out of necessity because he was the only competent receiver on the field. So we'll be probably not the best looking Eagles offense this week in week four because it's going to be guys like Johnny Wilson, Jahan Dotson, who's yet to do anything since being traded from the Commanders. And then who else? I mean, even Braden Covey or Covey.
Yeah, he's hurt.
The young rookie went out with a concussion as well, right?
Is it
So,
Paris Campbell? Is the other guy on the team that
yes,
kept popping up? Yeah,
the
and
only
again,
Ohio State receiver to come out and be awesome.
and he has never stayed healthy either. So he's a ticking time bomb.
Yeah, so I mean, start your Goddards this week, but also understand that he's probably going to be the focal point of the defense. So I really don't know if he's going to have a good week or not in week four here because he typically does well if he's the second or third option, because AJ Brown and Devonta Smith will garner the bulk of the coverage. But he's definitely going to be a target hog this week. So,
Yeah.
Scotty, we are on to the week three bottom feeders.
Ooh, nice. I'll take the first one. Anthony Richardson, 7.1 fantasy points, 167 passing yards, two interceptions, eight attempts for 24 rushing yards. After a massive week one, it's been a backwards for him. He makes some unreal throws that I feel like no quarterback in the league can make. And then it gets into the red zone and makes the worst throws of all time. Like, it's weird to see a guy that has that kind of momentum in one play. Most cases, these quarterbacks are going to hit that same kind of momentum and score. He just throws it right to the defense for a pick in the end zone. Like, I've never seen a guy that's so much high and just so much low.
He's a conundrum. I like to think there's something going on, like he's nursing an injury that we don't know about, but I just think he's a little out of his depth here. And it's unfortunate because if you're like a Pittman owner, you're kicking yourself just being tied. Yeah,
Kyle.
same. So just being tied to this guy. So
Me too, I guess, in a few leagues.
the reason I bring up Michael Pittman is because I traded him away for our next bottom feeding piece of shit, Ramondre Stevenson, who put up a paltry 0.3 points. And depending on your scoring, I've actually
It
saw
was
him go negative in
negative.
a couple of leagues. Six attempts, 23 rush yards, and the fumble, which brought his score right back down to nearly nothing. Again, coming off a good week the week before, then absolutely fumbles the ball and his opportunity away. The Patriot offense didn't have any answer for what the Jets brought on defense this week. So you give him a pass. He probably still ends up in your lineup next week, but you can only take so many performances like this before you can't play the guy anymore. And running backs in the NFL past, I mean, age 26 start to get a little dicey, and he's right flirting with that number. So hopefully he bounces back. Patriots O-line doesn't give me a lot of, warm and fuzzy that's going to happen, though.
He just got the bag, though. I
But
don't,
get in the bag, man. You get the bag, you get complacent.
That is true. Antonio Gibson backing him up, obviously, was a wide receiver in college. So it'd be interesting to see if they start to deploy him on more Texas choice routes out of the backfield just to get that offense moving. Because, yeah, the Patriots are a tough watch for
Yeah,
sure.
he looks like the better running back too. Like when he's got the ball, he just looks a little bit more explosive, but a very small data set, so and take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, my concern is like Stevenson, great week one, great week two, top 10 RB, and then bad week three. And I would say, talking about as an outlier, but I feel like this is more of like this is the Patriots we're going to see more or less as week three. Week one and two were the outliers for the Patriots. Week three was like, yeah, this is the Patriots team.
I will also say, though, the Jets typically have a good defense. They have for the last couple of
Yeah.
years. So you give them, I want to give them the out.
Russell
Unfortunately,
playing San Fran this
San
weekend,
Fran's
so
San Fran's had, struggles of their own. They just lost Javon Hargrave this past week. Was that? Yeah, Javon Hargrave. But again, San Fran's a good defense. They have a lot of talent. Then you play Miami, Houston, and then I guess your first reprieve is Jacksonville. But there's not a lot of easy matchups on the Patriots schedule this year. So oh, I don't know. I guess you cross your fingers and hope.
was also a Thursday night game, so you gotta put that into consideration too.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, but Thursday night games are typically more run heavy because it's easier to scheme up than putting in a lot of motion plays for wide receivers. But yeah, I don't
Also
know.
fair.
W
And
wait, wait.
the Jets probably knew that and said, well, they're gonna run the ball.
They're gonna run the ball and that's all they can do. And
Yeah.
let's let Jacoby pass over 10 yards and he couldn't,
Yeah.
so
Is Jalen Polk gonna beat us? No, we're not worried.
Yeah, we've had a rough time. We need a wide receiver to emerge, but who knows if it'll be this year. But that brings us to our wide receiver piece of shit, and it's Mike Evans. He was the wide receiver seven last year, had an amazing year, and this year is currently the wide receiver 40. This past week, he had two receptions on three targets for 17 receiving yards. Just brutal, I mean, but the positive. At Scotty's recommendation here and the big brain that he has, Chris Godwin has totally rebounded. So I don't
Slot,
hate
baby.
it. You got to also know, like, contextually, they ended up playing. I mean, he blew up in week one. So it hasn't been all doom and gloom this season yet. and had a very average slash mediocre game versus Detroit in week two. This week he played against Denver, and Denver has a very good pass defense.
He played
So,
against Surtain.
yeah, I mean,
So at that point, it's like, all right, Surtain's arguably the best quarterback in the league.
exactly. So, I mean, expect a rebound from Mike Evans. Outside of this game against Denver, their pass offense has looked pretty awesome under Baker Mayfield. None of us have any idea or saw this coming that Denver was just going to blow out Tampa Bay in Tampa Bay. I think we just have some honorable mentions here too for week three bottom feeders, wide receivers, and that's Calvin Ridley with a 1.4 fantasy point performance. I think it was one catch for 9 yards. That crushed me in a lot of leagues. And then Jameson Williams too, under 1 point in 0.5 PPR leagues. Those guys have to bounce back, although I have more confidence in Jameson Williams than I do in Calvin Ridley, simply because we saw the emergence of DeAndre Hopkins look back, look pretty healthy. He only played 50% snap share. So as that increases, he might be more of a safety valve for Will Levis, who has been struggling to start the season in his sophomore year.
Horrific.
But
Yeah, very bad. Very, very bad.
that's where we're at. So don't know who wants to take the final week three bottom feeder here in the tight end position.
Mark
Yeah,
Andrews.
nobody. Ugh.
Don't take it. Zero. One target. And it's not like, oh, it's Isaiah Likely. Likely had 0.9 points too.
Right.
Zay Flowers had like no points. It was a weird week too with Baltimore.
They went very run heavy against a Dallas team that
It was
couldn't stop an
Aguilar
Isaiah.
and Bateman that got the points. Bateman got the touchdown, but for Baltimore, big, all right, chalk it up as an outlier. For Andrews, though, one target. Like, I can see it was like six targets. They couldn't get it going. It's fine. One target. Like, holy shit, this is getting bad. Like, you invested a high draft pick in this guy.
I mean,
Bad.
do we there's got to be something going on with him. Like, there has to be an injury. I mean, he is coming off an injury last year. Is he fully healthy from
It
that? And
was
then
the
there was
car
that car
accident, but
crash.
like we said, like, oh, week one, he's not going to be great because of the car crash thing, but he's, fully practicing. Bad week one. We said, okay, it's fine. It's definitely hurt from the car crash. But now it's week three with one target. It's just going downhill now.
It's one
So,
target,
yeah.
and
And
it's you got to be on the field too, right? He only played 33% of snaps, and
that.
Charlie Kolar had what? Multiple catches, a 40-yard catch. So
For a guy
three.
that can block too, like it just shows like usually a guy that can block and is gonna be out there at the very least 80%.
It's very odd. And again, if it is the car crash, if he's still nursing something, Isaiah Likely looked more than competent. So sit, just don't be active. Don't be on the field at all. Go get healthy. Whatever to go on IR if you have to. So if you are healthy, you have to be out there and contributing. If you're not out there and contributing, then go sit because you're not helping the team. It's that simple to me.
What are you guys doing with him this week, though? I mean, he's certainly a sit candidate. I don't know that he's a drop candidate yet,
Well,
but they're playing against Buffalo. Like, it's going to be presumptively a shootout where he could thrive if he gets the snap share. Like, that's the big.
I will not play him.
You
Absolutely will not. Can't do it.
can't play him.
And again, I'd rather miss out on his first bounce back week than play him for a sub 3 point game for the fourth time this year. It's one of those fool me once things, whatever. So can't do
I
it.
mean,
Like, I don't care who you used to be. This is who you are right now, and you're not playable.
I guess we can talk about another guy that didn't get the list but should be Travis Kelce as well. We're talking about a guy that went even higher than Mark Andrews.
Yeah.
Now you're starting.
He's.
I think I'm starting him regardless, though.
Yeah.
Like you kind of have to, just mainly because the offense, like they don't really have much besides Rashee Rice, like Kyle said before. So it's Kelce, but with Baltimore, it's like, all right, you got Henry. You do have Zay Flowers. You do have the Isaiah Likely. There's guys there that they don't really have to feed Mark Andrews if he's not, fully healthy. With Kelce, it's like it's Kelce. Like he's the second option at the worst day.
Yeah,
Yeah,
absolutely. I
and
mean,
you hear the narratives coming out from Pat Mahomes. You already heard the press conference. He said, "Listen, we're drawing up plays for Travis Kelce. He's blanketed by two or three guys. They're playing a cover two shell against us, and they're making us beat him in different spots. They take away Kelce. They know that it has to be somebody else. That's a good way to play the Chiefs. It's a smart play. They can't do it all season long, eventually Travis Kelce breaks free. And you can see the frustration on Kelce's face on the field. Like, he's going to get his looks, but he, for every flaw that he has and every flaw I've ever pointed out about the guy, is out there still blocking hard, still running his routes hard, still doing everything that you want and you could ever ask him from a football player. So it'll come. And he's on the field a ton.
Yeah, and this past week he got tackled at the 1 yard line. So I mean, he gets in the end zone. That's a 6 point swing,
It's a
and all
way
of a
different
sudden
story.
his his 4 catches for 30 yards and a touchdown are much more palatable than the 7 points he puts up. Big difference between double digits points and 13 and 7 when you're trying to compete in these early goings on.
Yeah, he gets targets and he's on the field. Andrews gets one target and he's on the field 30% of the time. That's a different story there.
And even if you could, and I don't know how you'd really track all these stats, but if you could go and look at plays called where he's the first option, where he's the first read for Pat Mahomes, I guarantee you he's top of the league still, like in percentage of first read option plays.
All right, let's get to our next segment. After week three, it's kind of fun with the hold fulls. I think it's now the time to actually be like, all right, do we hold this guy or fold this guy? We had a few last week. One was Deontay Johnson. Me and Dow said, don't see what he does. Boom, killed it.
You're welcome. We're geniuses. What
We
else is
have
new?
one on this list again from last week that we said hold. So we'll kind of go through them. I started with a pretty hard one, I think. DeAndre Swift, hold fold.
I'm holding him. And it's only because, well, I'll let you guys give your answers first. I'm holding him.
I'm probably folding him at this point. I mean, always try to trade because that hype and that value could be there from someone else's perception. But DeAndre Swift, I mean, the good years that he had were either as a pass catcher in Detroit or behind the best offensive line the last couple of years in Philly. And he's just being exposed at this point with a very average offensive line in Chicago, a rookie quarterback, and he's just not that guy. He's also been losing snap share significantly since week one. It's declined every single week. And Roschon Johnson has looked pretty darn good, at least last week. And then Khalil Herbert is getting the goal line touches. So he's not the bell cow at all, and he's losing snap share. It's very concerning. His yards per carry is under 1.5. It's just like, it's not sustainable. This offense needs to start clicking anyways for him to even be startable, because touchdowns would be the only thing to save him right now. So I'm folding. I got Roschon Johnson in a couple of leagues, and I'm riding that wave. Hopefully that goes up.
Yeah, I mean, Roschon had 4 catches on 5 targets this week and like outplayed
Which
DeAndre Swift in the passing game, which is kind of
is his
crazy.
role. Yeah,
Right.
exactly.
But at this point though, DeAndre Swift is still RB42 on the season. So he's not far outside flex play range, and he hasn't scored a touchdown this year. So had he ever happened to find the end zone magically, we'd be talking about him as an RB3. So I'm not too concerned about his production. I know it hasn't been what you expected. But he's playing, as Kyle mentioned, behind one of the worst offensive lines in the league. I mean, they're far below average. We've seen the highlights where they can't block anybody, and the entire defensive line is in the backfield standing up, ready to tackle. So it's quite honestly a lot of what we saw with David Montgomery for years there, and then who went to Detroit and decided to turn it up and dominate there. So offensive line is the issue. It's not necessarily DeAndre Swift. I don't hold anything against him. I don't think he's losing snaps and because he's bad. I think he's just not getting anything done because he's getting hit the second he touches the ball. All of that being said, Keenan Allen comes back and you can work some of this quick pass attack that they're not running at all with DJ Moore, who's somehow working down the field more than anything else out of the slot, and Rome Odunze. Like, if you can get the Keenan Allen close to the line of scrimmage pass play working and you can open something up, and maybe the defense has to respect that a little bit, DeAndre Swift's role can grow back into something significant. So I'm not dropping him yet. Again, if he posted a zero, I'd have a conversation. He still put up, what, 6 points, 6-ish points. He's still getting 13 carries. He's got enough volume to get it done. Like, if we're talking about 13 carries and 4 targets, he's flirting with 20 total touches on the year. Or, I mean, sorry, on a game by game basis. You're not going to find that with anybody else off the waiver wire. I mean, Maybe you went and dropped him last week and picked up Carson Steele, and you're happy because Carson Steele had 17 carries, but there's nobody out there like that this week.
Yeah, so for me, I am a drop, and it's not just because he's one of my busts of the year. And I did, blame the line. The line's horrific, but I looked at plays that someone posted on Twitter, like, this is like, watch DeAndre Swift in these runs, and his vision is so bad. There's a few plays where he can have an easy touchdown, and he just cuts the wrong way and hits a defender in the face, or runs into a offensive lineman or DJ Moore and blocking on the outside. The thing I kind of take away from DeAndre Swift is he's Miles Sanders from last year, where in week three with us, we were telling everyone, pick up Chuba Hubbard. His role's increasing. Sanders is going down. Kyle saying he's picking up Roschon Johnson, riding that train. I think it's the same kind of thing. And I'm not saying Roschon Johnson's going to be a league winning guy. Chuba Hubbard wasn't a league winning guy, but a 10 to 12 point per week kind of guy. I think Roschon Johnson is going to take over that role. Swift just doesn't do it. And like Miles Sanders came from Philly, had some good years, but we said he wasn't running well, but didn't matter. He's on this F Philly offense. Swift is in Philly last year, has some good games, good stats, but he's on one of the best offenses in the league. He goes to a team that is not Philly and shows he's not that great of a running back. So I'm cutting Swift completely. I just view him as Miles Sanders this year and Roschon Johnson as the Chuba Hubbard.
Rock and roll.
All right. I want to do me, Dows, and Kyle on these ones. So you, Dows, the
Sure.
next one.
So Javonte Williams is our next guy, Scott's other plus of the year.
I'm holding him. Mainly like Tyler Beatty ran great last week. I think it was off of a few big runs, but Beatty also went back to the practice squad too. But if Denver can play like they did week three, I know Javonte didn't really do well week three. He lost a goal line touches to McLaughlin, but I also think that also was Javonte, ran the ball a lot and then, take a breather, just a random case. So, through the Broncos, if they're going to click, it's going to be in the running game. Like, it can't be Courtland Sutton every week or any week. So I think Javonte, I'll give a hold for this week, see what he does next week. I'm not going to start him, but I'm not going to bench him or not going to cut him.
I say he's playing the Jets, so it's a tough start even if you hold him.
Yeah, but bench the guy, if he doesn't do well, but he gets like 15 touches overall, then all right, he's still, the lead back there.
And if he was getting 15 touches, I'd be right with you and I'd be holding him, but he had five carries and four targets. So
Ooh, all right, that's
he's
pretty
beating a
low.
lot, he's ceding a lot of ground. Again, I told you I would keep DeAndre because he saw 17 total touches. This guy saw nine. It's a different story.
Yeah, I guess I didn't know it was that low. Damn.
And again, I don't know who's out there on the waiver wire in your leagues that you could grab. But if you can get more than nine touches a game consistently, I would go for that guy, whoever it may be. I guess I have to be a fold based on my own logic. Even though I like Javante and I'd really want to hold him because I think he's going to turn around.
I'll sell him to you in flex if you really want it, Dows. I know you're not doing well there, so
I will not even pick up another player all league. I'm done with that, or all year, I'm done with that league.
so I'm also a hold. And the reason is, I mean, I live in Denver, so I've watched these games pretty intently, hoping they were gonna be awful. And then, like we were talking about earlier, they ended up dominating Tampa Bay. He did get 16 touches the week in week two against Pittsburgh and did all right. He was a lot more active in the passing game than I think anybody was really predicting because that allegedly was going to be Jaleel McLaughlin's role, but it's been a weird deployment, honestly. I don't understand Sean Payton's like obsession with these Thunder Lightning, trying to recreate the Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara, I mean, Pierre, what was his name?
Pierre Strong.
Pierre Thomas. No, Pierre Thomas back in the day, right? Like all these guys he wants to pigeonhole into these roles. Rather than just go with a bell cow, Javonte looked pretty good at the end of the year last year. Like, you need to feed this guy carries. He did, they threw a flag, coach's challenge this week, on his goal line rush, which looked to me like he got in. And then somehow these stripes said no. Next carry, he got pulled
McLaugh,
out,
yeah.
and McLaughlin got his rushing touchdown. But it's not like McLaughlin's out rushing him. So for that reason, I still am going to hold on. I totally hear what you guys are saying, though. It's going to be a tough matchup against the Jets. But then they play Vegas, the banged up Chargers, which could be competitive, and then Carolina the following week. So there's hope here. I think we get to midseason, we'll probably have a clearer picture of hold fold. Maybe it's too late at that point, but I'm going to hold here. And the whole Tyler, it's actually pronounced bidet. He had it legally
Is it
changed.
really?
Yeah, like the what
Oh, like
you clean your ass.
that Dickies is, yeah.
Exactly. He did get signed 7 hours ago to the active roster, so he earned his spot. And then
Which
don't
makes
forget,
sense.
Audric Estime is on IR, but could come back week five. And he's a big, brutish back who's young, a lot like Braylon Allen, that was proven in college. So there's certainly risk here, but my hope. What I want to do is stick it out until week five at least and just see.
I did finally find the stat I was looking for as well for rushing yards over expectation for both of these, DeAndre Swift and Javonte Williams. They are two of the bottom three backs in the league with Trey Benson sandwiched between them. So, they are should be averaging. DeAndre Swift is averaging 1.8 yards per carry and should be averaging 4.2, while
Oh.
Javonte Williams is averaging 2.2. And should be averaging 4.5.
Yeah, but is there any merit to the fact that both of these guys have rookie quarterbacks too? It's been a slow start.
100%.
So, I mean, besides this past week, with the Commanders having Jaden Daniels pop off and look super legit, these rookie quarterbacks are,
Million
understandably
percent. Oh,
gonna
shit.
struggle. So.
Million percent agree. But for purely in like a redraft league where we're talking about dropping these guys. I think they're going to be rookie quarterbacks all year, right?
Yeah,
So
yeah,
I
yeah.
don't know that it changes. Dynasty, I'm holding on. I'm holding both these guys and just hoping for the
Well, you kind of
best. I'm
have
not
to, yeah.
cutting them.
This is,
Got
well, there's a lot
deep
different.
rosters, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah,
But
but look at Bo Nix. I mean, he took a pretty big step forward. So if he can keep coming up with these performances, start throwing guys open, maybe the run
Bo
game opens up
Nix
a little bit more.
the
Got
way
some wheels.
I was saying he was slow the other day. I watched more of his highlights. Guy got a little wiggle.
The second leading rusher on the team last week behind Tyler Bidet.
I'm never going to say that, Beatty.
Beatty. All right, Kyle, next one.
Alrighty. This is my guy, actually. So hold or fold Jaylen Warren. And I wasn't on the pod last week, but it seems like you guys had a slight hold, semi-hold last week as a consensus. His usage has been nowhere near what it was in the first couple of years he was in the league. It's actually pretty surprising to me because the deployment that Arthur Smith had of Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier when he was in Atlanta last year kind of indicated that it was going to be more of a 60-40, 55-45 split. And Warren just hasn't seen the field. Najee Harris has dominated that snap share. God, I really would hate to fold him, but I think you have to based on the numbers right now. He is, as we covered in the early segment, he is injured. So if it does come out that he has anything wrong with his MCL, it's going to be even more of a reason to just fold him, shut him down at this point. If he doesn't go on IR, obviously use your IR spot wisely.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. He's a fold for me. We've seen much more of the Arthur Smith, Derrick Henry deployment with Arthur Smith and Najee Harris. So Jaylen Warren just seems to have taken a complete and utter back seat. He's a fold.
Yeah, if I'm folding Swift, I'm definitely folding Jalen Warren. Cordarrelle Patterson is getting more work than him anyways, so there's no point to hold this guy. And he's just rotting your bench for a guy that you can could have picked up week one, two, and three. So easy fold for me. Next one, Cam Akers.
Old.
What?
Fold.
Yeah, I mean,
Joe Mixon will be back this week. That's it. Done.
I
Doesn't
don't know if he
matter.
was because he's week to week.
He's gonna be fine.
He
He
hasn't
didn't
practiced yet.
practice. He hasn't practiced yet this week.
He
Yeah.
won't. He will do the walkthrough on Friday, and he'll be fine.
But even so, like Akers got the touchdown. If Akers didn't get a touchdown, he would have what like 2 points. So, and even if Mixon is not back this week, Damian Pierce could be back too. And watching Cam Akers run last week, I think they want to, use someone else. So, I mean, I'm going to fold him because I'm not going to start him in any league. And if Mixon's out this week, then he's probably back in week five. And I'm not paying Cam Akers anyways.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a fold as well, but I was one of those ones that did pick him up and start him because my Mixon was injured and got bailed out. He had 9 carries for 21 abysmal yards, and then bailed himself out with catching a touchdown on a house blitz. So got lucky there, that's for sure. Damian Pierce, though, just to note, did not practice either this week, and he's nursing a hamstring injury. So
Still
this
out.
backfield's pretty gross. I do hope Mixon gets back soon.
Next guy up, Christian Watson.
Hold for me. I gotta see Love back.
Yeah, I think you got to hold him. He had 8.7 points. The reason I put him on this list is because he had those points on two targets and two catches for 67 yards. So that's not a lot of usage for anybody. Obviously better than the 0 he put up the week before. Looks like he can do something with Malik Willis, but Malik Willis, even in a victory, didn't really involve him. So threw him on the list, but yeah, I think he's a fold. I mean, sorry, I think he's a hold.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a slight hold, I guess. I agree with you got to see what it looks like when Jordan Love comes back, so maybe you could give it another week or two. But this we knew going into this season with a healthy Jordan Love that it was going to be a weird timeshare because all four of these receivers are very capable, but they get deployed in different ways. And this offense is very good. I mean, it's good if you're a Packers fan watching football, but for fantasy football, it's a bit of a nightmare from a predictability perspective. So hold makes sense, but I don't love him. If you can get off of him, if you can package him with another player and try to trade up, that would be my advice.
Yeah, the hardest thing is that we've lost with this Jordan Love injury is that we've lost 4 weeks or 3 weeks of data to show us who's going to do what. Like, is it Jaden Reed's show? Is it Dontayvion Wicks? Is it Christian Watson? Is it Romeo Doubs? Like, I don't know. Week to week could be any of them.
You got to be on the field to make catches. And it's very interesting that Christian Watson and Jaden Reed have only been on the field for mid 50% snaps. The only consistent wide receiver there that's seen over a 70% snap share is Romeo Doubs.
Yeah. Weird. All right,
Cool.
Kyle, next one.
Yeah, keep rolling. We already kind of touched on this. Anthony Richardson. I mean, this is so tough just because in fantasy football, we look for those dual threat quarterbacks that can run. And that is very much proven with Anthony Richardson. However, based on his performance thus far in 3 weeks, he's trying to make these throws, like which I can respect in his development of trying to be a legit, pocket presence QB who then can be a dual threat like a Cam Newton, Josh Allen player type. But man, it's just rough because he's not even taking design runs at this point for the most part. So I don't know. He's probably a slight hold at this point. What's his schedule coming up? What does that look
Pittsburgh,
like?
Jacksonville, Tennessee, Miami, Houston, Minnesota, Buffalo, the Jets, Detroit, New England.
Yeah, maybe hold him through this week, but don't expect him to have a good week against Pittsburgh. That is a fiery defense. He could get back on track against the slate of Jacksonville, Tennessee, and Miami. So that would be the only reason that I'm holding him. But with that being said, I mean, Andy Dalton, Sam Darnold, these random blasts from the past that are probably on your waiver wire are
Baker
putting up
Mayfield.
legit points. And I think you can't lose the first 4 to 5 games of your fantasy season because it's only a 14 week thing. So yeah, he's a slight hold for me if you can get to Jacksonville, Tennessee, and Miami in weeks 5, 6, 7, but you're probably benching him for this week against Pittsburgh.
Well, the problem too is if Pittsburgh stonewalls him and he puts up 7 points again, am I even going to have the cojones to start him against Jacksonville? I might not.
Yeah, well, buy low in Dynasty, but speaking of which, Dows, I guess I'll throw it over to you, hold or fold. I saw, granted, it's in Dynasty. You're starting Daniel Jones over Anthony Richardson this
I
week.
am starting Daniel Jones on a Thursday night over Anthony Richardson this week. And I mean, I think who's my other quarterback in that league? Brock Purdy. So like I'm hoping that he's really my QB1 and Daniel Jones is my QB2. But dude, yeah, it's a gross world to be in. He's playing Dallas, so I'm hoping that the Giants can do something against that abysmal defense that we've seen so far. And if he can link up with Malik Nabers, it'll be okay. But you can see the lack of faith I have in Anthony Richardson. So, in a redraft league, I think I'd probably just fold them and go pick up one of the guys that you mentioned, Sam Darnold. If Baker Mayfield's still laying out there, I'd look at a few matchups and see, what I can get.
Derek
But
Carr too.
Derek Carr, yeah, I know
Derek
he kind of,
Carr.
yeah, a lot of guys. There's a in single quarterback formats. There are guys out there at the quarterback position that you can pick. Aaron Rodgers could be out there still, for all you know. So, I think I would fold them in a one QB non-dynasty format.
You are starting, Scotty, listen to this. He is starting this week, Daniel Jones, on a short week against Dallas and Jared Goff.
Oh, Jared
That
Goff. Oh,
that
Jared
is
Goff's been bad
his
too. Yeah, why
starting
don't you go ahead
QB.
and look at who I'm playing? It doesn't matter who I start. I'm going to win by 1,000 points. Guys
I don't know.
projected to score 55 points. Is
That's
that
up for
league?
debate. It's the
Well.
league that you just traded over, Bucky Irving to.
So the problem is in many formats, I owned Anthony Richardson and I am sitting him in many formats. So give me one moment. I'll find
I
the.
we really just I mean, yeah, you can't you as an organization, Indy cannot sit him because they need
Oh.
to develop him, but like Joe Flacco could take this team to the playoffs. And that's just kind of wild from a business
Yeah, it's
perspective.
true.
So it's Cat Dynasty where I am playing him against a kid. I don't even know who it is who's projected to score 58 points. And I replaced Anthony Richardson with Justin Fields.
That's fair. Even though Fields hasn't done much, but
No, but I'll take 15 over 7.
I'm gonna ho hold him, bench him. Like in a one QB league, I'm not gonna cut the guy. I'll cut someone else on my bench and keep him because just the that kind of quarterback you can't drop in my mind. So moving on, next one, Ezekiel Elliott.
Old. Done with him.
Fold's
Guy's
fine. I
cooked.
mean, he's playing
He is
Giants
fourth
this
in
week.
runs rushing yards over expectation. Fourth lowest.
So I love how the guys on this list we're talking about is right in the bottom barrel. Yeah, he's a cut for me. I think Rico Dowdle's the guy to own there. If you want to play Dowdle. But no one in this running back room I do want to start. But if I had to do one person to hold him on my team, it's Dowdle. Zeke, bye bye. They do have Devin Cook too, who can come back, come up week five, and won't be surprised if he takes over. Not takes over, like takes over for Deuce Vaughn, I fucking hope. God damn it.
Yeah, that backfield's a fucking shit show. I don't want to be any part of it anymore. I'm out.
Yeah, it's one of those like, oh, cool, this guy hit. It's like, yeah, but these guys are going to hit on your bench. You're not
Yep.
starting them any week. So,
Dowdle goes off this
at
week. You start him, he'll suck next week.
boom. Exactly. So, at this point, don't even bother being part of this backfield.
Yep. There
Yeah.
are better people on your waivers. That's it.
Agree. Bold, because also this offense has not shown itself to be very good or competent at this point. We were talking about Dak and CD getting into it because this offense is just lagging behind. Hard fold.
Samaje Perine, is it my turn? I don't know. I'm just
Yeah,
going.
it is.
Samaje Perine. I think he's a hold for me. It's a tough hold, but we talked about it before. He has a shot at a role. This backfield needs another week to kind of see how it's gonna hash itself out. It might need more than that, honestly. But you probably just picked him up last week in redraft formats. You're not gonna cut him that quickly. See what he's got one more week.
You're holding all these guys. You're holding
Yeah.
Hunt, him, and Steele.
Yeah, if you picked up Hunt,
Gotta
you're
see.
definitely holding him because he hasn't played yet and he just got added to the 53, man. It's what you expected.
Yep.
Yeah, I
If you're a
agree.
Hunt guy, you're like, this is exactly what I expected. He's going to kill it this week.
Don't start him, please, guys.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
I might.
Yeah, totally
Flex.
agree. You're holding.
I'm gonna do it.
You're holding
In
him
Flex League,
too.
I have to. Yeah,
Also,
I
I
like
mean,
Devin.
for reference, I don't get dissuaded by they're playing the Chargers this week. We already talked about how banged up the Chargers are on offense and defense. This will probably be a blowout. I don't know that Samaje will get meaningful touches, but then they play New Orleans, who has been on fire as of late, and San Francisco. So that's where he could really shine in pass protection, catching passes out of the backfield. And then we'll definitely have a clear understanding of who's getting meaningful touches in this backfield. So if he's not, you can absolutely fold him then. But yeah, he's got to be a hold for now. And pick up CEH, put him on your IR for this last week
Oh, I
on the off
will.
chance that he, is playable and takes over the backfield until Pacheco's back.
Yep.
Cool.
Right, Kyle, you're up.
Yeah, I'll take Tyler Johnson. Yeah, I'm folding him. I mean, in Dynasty, I might keep him, but in redraft, there's zero reason to keep Tyler Johnson. I think we're all duped. I myself listened to too much of the hype and picked up DeMarcus Robinson instead of Tutu Atwell. Tutu Atwell last year, when Kupp was out, was on fire for what, the first 4 weeks of the season. I mean, Scotty, you were joking. You had like the wide receiver one. Who was the, oh, Hayden Hurst was also the TE one after week one last year. You had the number one wide receiver and number one tight end in our dynasty league, who clearly were not going to maintain that. But
I
Stafford's
remember.
got a connection with Tutu Atwell and DeMarcus Robinson and Tyler Johnson. He had a great week in what, week two?
Week one was a good,
But you're
decent week.
in redraft, you are folding him. There's no reason to keep him. Like I said, in Dynasty, if you got the spot and you want to keep him, cool. But he's also 26 or 27 years old. It's not like he's a rookie. I think we've seen the best he can bring.
I don't
Yeah,
know if
he's a
I
fold.
start any Rams receiver, to be honest. I'm not
No,
doing
you do
it.
not. You do not do it. I mean, maybe Tutu Atwell, if you really want to take a risk. I think he has the most upside. He can catch a bomb at any point. But Tyler Johnson's a guy that you saw pop after Puka went down week one. You saw him score 10-ish points, maybe 10.8 or something like that. You picked him up and he hasn't done anything since. Give it up. It's not going to do anything. If he pops, he'll be on your bench anyways.
All right, next guy. For years, always on this list. Gabe Davis, fold.
He's also a guy we should have talked about in injuries. He's nursing a shoulder injury he picked up towards the end of the game last night or Monday night. He's a fold as well for me. That offense looks bad.
Yeah, agree, fold. He's exclusively a best ball player.
Yes. That is his career specialty.
That was
That's it.
easy.
Yep. Brandon Cooks.
Fold.
Fold, unfortunately.
Oh, I don't know.
Tolbert looks like the guy.
Tolbert's the two there
Well,
with the
after CD.
bad offense right now, so
He's still getting the Cooks is still getting the
and
snaps though, but
right,
Tolbert's
but there's
production
also
has come in the fourth quarter. Like literally in week two and week three, he only got meaningful catches and targets in the last like 5 minutes of the game. So
well in week three it was in the prime comeback time, and Dak looked at him more than anybody else when he needed to 25-point comeback in the fourth quarter with 10 minutes
yeah,
to go.
because him and CD were duking it out on the bench.
That's
But
very true. But if that continues, and hey, Brandon Cooks had a huge PI. Until they start counting those for points, I can't play the fucking guy.
yeah, you probably got to fold him. I mean, he's got New York, Pittsburgh, Detroit. That Pittsburgh defense really worries me. And then San Francisco after that. So it's a pretty tough slate of defenses coming up. And
That pit D is noise.
yeah, you like that D,
Only in your pit.
huh? Cool. Keep it rolling. Last player here we have is Zamir White. Yeah, he's a fold for me. And just to add context to this, like they're not even giving him goal line carries. Like Alexander Mattison, they're bringing in for literally only the goal line carries, and he's converting, and it's infuriating. You're just like Zamir White was being drafted. He was the no RB or zero RB approach. Him and Zach Moss. Now Zach Moss has hit thus far. Zamir White is the example of not hitting at all. So he's a fold for me.
Yeah, the Alexander Mattison success on the goal line has boggled my mind. Zamir White's also doing nothing in the passing game. I mean, he literally had zero targets last week and six on the season total. So 10 carries, 34 yards. It's inefficient, 3.4 points. It's 3.4 points with no looks on the goal line. It's hard to roster that. I know I made a case for DeAndre Swift at RB 42. Zamir White's RB 49. That doesn't seem less like a significant gap, but I'm folding Zamir White.
Fold.
Okay, final segment.
Buy low, sell high.
We haven't done this yet this year because we always have to take a couple weeks to get into it because you're not trading away your team unless you're Dickie in like week one or two. So let's get into it, Scott. You want to go first? It's your boy.
Dallas, you go first. I'm trying to do my microphone.
Okay. So my buy low, I kind of doubled up here because at the tight end position, I'm still buying Travis Kelce and Sam Laporta. Travis Kelce for all the reasons we talked about at the top of the broadcast. Sam Laporta, he's banged up. He's probably still hard to buy in any format, even in redraft, just because of who he was and where he was drafted by the Sam Laporta owner. However, you're never going to get either of these guys at a lower value than they're at right now. And if I can, I'm targeting them heavily and I'm playing them right away. Like I said, Travis Kelce, I'm not sitting. Sam Laporta, I'm not worrying about sitting. They're both buy low targets, and I'd be thrilled to have either one on my team.
Makes sense to me. Are we moving over to sell high, or do you want to just go through all the buy lows?
Do the buy lows. You take yours first if you'd like.
Sure. My buy low is Garrett Wilson. And I mean, take this with a grain of salt, right? Because he's probably not, there's probably not teams that are going to willingly sell him away for nothing. But if you can get comparable value, like take some of these guys that have popped in week one that we weren't really expecting. I mean, shoot, J.K. Dobbins, right? Like J.K. Dobbins and something for Garrett Wilson, because Garrett Wilson by the numbers has been fairly mediocre thus far, defense and Pat Surtain. But after that, he's got a nice slate, and it looks like Rodgers is starting to click. So yeah, that's where I'm at trying to buy Garrett Wilson. I mean, he's had a good amount of targets, 11 targets in week one, six in week two, and nine in week three. Just hasn't really gotten converted on those with Rodgers and has been bracketed by defenses. But I think that'll start to ease up as Braylon Allen and Breece Hall run it down defenses' throats, and that connection with Rodgers becomes more solidified.
All
Scary.
right, Mike isn't
Yeah.
not working. So, my buy low is Mike Evans, of course. Talked about him before. Horrific week three, bad week two, high week one. But this Bucks offense is usually rolling. So I think Mike Evans, we have seen this in the past where, he has these, poor weeks here and there, but, a guy that you can probably buy as a wide receiver three, probably finishes wide receiver two. That's the guy I want to buy right now because I think his value is so low right now, especially with Chris Godwin being like the wide receiver three in the year. So Mike Evans is the buy low for me.
Yeah, Hundo P. I mean, we talked about his poor stat line, like two catches, 17 yards. Typically, that also comes with two touchdowns. So, like, great, great buy low. My other buy low is Christian McCaffrey. I'd love to get in on as many shares of him as I can. You could probably get him for next to nothing. He's an IR candidate. Everybody's panicking. They're seeing the same Instagram videos that you are that are saying Christian McCaffrey may never play football again. I'll buy him for a bag of peanuts and be on my way. The hard part is I've tried to do that actually in a couple of leagues and people are still holding out for pretty high value on him. So give it another week, let some more reports come out and hopefully you can get him for, I mean, literally nothing. I would trade away Zeke Elliott and expect to be able to get that trade done if it goes another week or two.
Yep.
Cool.
All right.
Scott, you want to take your second buy low?
Yes, yeah, because on Brandon Ayuk, pretty bad season so far this year, but I think Ayuk is one of the better wide receivers in the NFL. I don't buy the Juwan Jennings hype. Not hype, I mean he's done it. So I do think with Ayuk missing camp, we've talked about this before. Like people that miss camp have very slow starts. He missed all of camp until like the day before their first game. So I think Ayuk is a guy that I'm going to buy now because I think he's going to be a high end wide receiver two at the worst from here on out.
If you can buy him this week too, he's got New England coming up.
Yeah, and Debo will still be out. Yeah, I'm totally on board with this. Like we talked about with a lot of receivers, like Jamar Chase as well, they need this ramp up period, and he's just not been on the same page, but he's been open. I think Brock Purdy actually did not throw him the ball when he was clearly wide open down the middle of the field this past week. So it'll come. It'll come. Heck all right, yeah. I don't have a second buy low, so we could probably just delve into the sell highs.
Perfect.
And mine is Chuba Hubbard. Listen, I love Chuba. With Andy Dalton, this offense looks reinvigorated, and Chuba popped this week in both receptions and running the ball. But like I was saying earlier, if you can use him to tier up, I think you got to ride this wave. Jonathan Brooks, like we covered at the beginning of the pod, has had very positive reports about his healing from his injury. I mean, there was speculation in preseason that he was ready to go and didn't even need to go on the PUP or IR. So expect Brooks to come back firing. He'll at least overtake Miles Sanders, I would think, in week five, and then probably within week six, week seven, be the RB1 there in Carolina in what is now seemingly a competent offense. So you've got maybe another week or two to let Chuba continue to perform and start socializing that around and sell high on him.
Yeah, I love that. That's actually, I love seeing that. I didn't even think of Chuba, and that's such a good pick. I hate you for it.
That's what I'm here for, man. I am for clarification, though, I am starting Chuba this week.
Oh, you gotta. Gotta. Against Cincy?
Heck yeah. It's going to be a target hog with Adam Thielen out.
Love it. Yep. Scott, you want to take yours?
Yeah, sure. So high, Devontae Adams. Couple bad weeks in a row, but he still has the name where if you go to a guy and it's like, oh, I'm going to say Devontae Adams. Oh, that's Devontae Adams. That guy's sick. But this offense is not clicking. Gardner Minshew is not the answer. They're talking about, you know, going to Aiden O'Connell possibly this week. I don't think they are, but possibly by week five. But a guy like Devontae Adams, I mean, if you watch the show Wide Receiver, he just gets so pissy if he's not getting targets. And I know he turned it around last year, still had great numbers. But the team has Brock Bowers, and this guy is legit, and he's going to force at least 9 to 10 targets a game. I just don't know that this offense is great at all. And with Brock Bowers there and Jacoby Myers also getting work and Devontae Adams being a diva once again, I think I would sell this guy because I don't think it's going to be a wide receiver one by any means. So you can sell him to someone for, you know, I would sell Devontae Adams for a Christian McCaffrey if you can in a league. Like if you're a top team and you have Adams, go get Christian McCaffrey, Garrett Wilson now, because I don't think he finishes over them.
Yeah, I mean, I love the wide receiver show comment because you saw it. He sent Jimmy Garoppolo packing, and Gardner Minshew ain't Jimmy Garoppolo. He doesn't have that kind of pull in the front office. So I love that. Get out in front of it.
Yep.
My first sell high is also a wide receiver. Juwan Jennings, the guy we just talked about, pops so huge. I'm just a big fan of selling waiver wire pickups off of huge performances. You might even want to wait another week. I expect another serviceable outing against New England. I bet you he puts up 15 points all day long. If you can sell him off the back of one performance, great. Two's even better. You get even more value for him. But realistically, I'm taking anything I can get for him in return. You know, I mean, within reason. But the second Debo Samuel comes back, the second Brandon Ayuk gets back in sync with Brock Purdy, Kittle gets healthy, CMC returns, Juwan Jennings no longer has a role. We've seen it year after year. Like when he's called upon to show up, he does. And then as soon as the studs are back, he goes back to the bench. And yeah, he'll be on the field here and there. He'll do a little bit. You'll see him, you know, catch a TD here and there, but he doesn't have a long-term role on this team. It's unfortunate. You know, he could probably be the number one wide receiver on some other teams in the league, not in San Fran.
He's the new Kendrick Bourne
for the team. Yeah.
That's interesting because I was going to say he's the new Tyler Boyd.
But also yeah, great.
Same, right? Like wide receiver three, very serviceable. They did pay him this year, right? Even when they were in contract discussions with Brandon Ayuk, whether they were going to keep him or sell him, they were very intentional about extending Juwan Jennings. So it's very evident that Shanahan likes him, likes his role in the offense, but he's just that. He's a wide receiver three, and with Kittle and whoever the running back is, he's really the fourth or fifth option within that offense when they're all healthy. So,
yeah, 2 years, $15.5 million. That's unfortunately low for a guy that does what he does. But
that sounds like a Kendrick Bourne contract. It's weird.
Don't talk about my guy.
No, it's good. This is what I'm saying. Like, he's in
a Bourne. He should have got $80 million a year.
And now, Bourne is the number one in New England.
That's
and
true.
He definitely will be by week five, maybe.
Juwan Jennings can come right on over to New England, buddy. We'd love to have you. He'd be the number one here, too.
All right, Kyle.
I don't have a second one.
All right, I will do my second one. Alan Lazard, I guess this is kind of the same thing with Juwan Jennings. Like, you won't get much for him, but I do not buy into the Lazard-Aaron Rodgers connection. Like, it's happened 2 out of the 3 weeks, but Lazard is just a guy. Like, he was a guy that was almost cut this season. I think Rodgers said, don't cut the guy. You know, it's my team. They're like, all right, fine, we'll keep the guy. But if you can get anything for him, like a Roschon Johnson, like a guy that just got picked up, or any Chiefs running back, I would sell Lazard for.
Yeah. I'm not looking for a huge return, but he's the best guy to sell. Like, I've got him in Dynasty. I have to play him, so I can't move him, but I'd love to. I don't even like looking at him in my starting lineup. But my next sell high is J.K. Dobbins. Kyle actually mentioned him as a swap for Garrett Wilson. You know, Garrett Wilson for J.K. plus. But J.K. Dobbins started the season, you know, man on a mission. Las Vegas dominated, 21 points. Carolina, 19 points. Came back down to reality, only 7 points against the Steelers this week. But like we've talked about all podcasts, the Steelers' defense is fantastic. So he's got another tough matchup against KC. But if I could sell him right now off of two really good performances and then a dud against a great defense and just say, oh, he's obviously going to bounce back, and hopefully everybody else hasn't seen the offensive line injuries that Kyle brought up earlier, he's a fantastic guy to sell immediately for as much as you possibly can. I mean, number one, he's put the big performances on his stat sheet so far, but we've also seen him break down year after year. So if you can get out of the J.K. Dobbins industry faster than you maybe initially planned on, it's probably going to work out for you best in the long run.
Yep, I could not agree more. All right. That will do it. Dows, take the boys and girls out.
Shelfies. Both men and women, we know you're listening. We appreciate it. As always, give us your questions. Come game day, start sits will be up tomorrow for you to peruse at your leisure all day at work. We want to hear from you on all the social media at Top Shelf FNTSY. So please don't hesitate to give us your questions, comments, and concerns. If you want any new segments, we're always open to that as well. But just remember, as you set your lineups in week 4, stay fluid, stay loose.
Top Shelf Fantasy. Stay fluid. Stay loose.